This is Sarah Weymouth, and welcome to my podcast, where we talk about everything for you to live your best life. And we have a little fun too, from talking about business, marriage, parenthood, money, health, home decor, friendship, beauty, and pop culture. I'm a mother to three, a wife, a successful business owner, and I want to live my highest best self. Follow along as we learn together, grow, teach, because you only get to live one life. Oh, and I promise to dig deeper and to ask the tough questions. This is the Lime Podcast. Hi, guys. I have the rareness of being home alone in the summer. I'm actually being home alone in general is rare for me because my husband works from home. He's completely remote. Sometimes, very rarely, he'll take a business trip, but otherwise he works from home. And even though his office is upstairs and mine is downstairs, I'm not actually home alone, you know? And then obviously with summer, we've got the kids around. So this is very rare. And the reason I'm alone is because my husband and kids decided to do a random camping trip this weekend. Like kind of out of the blue, let's go camping. They love it and I love it because I hate camping. I hate all that kind of stuff. Like I don't want to get bug bites. I don't want to be dirty. I'm not like they do real camping. Like they sleep in a tent. We have a boat, so of course they go to a lake. They get to do all the boat stuff, which is so fun for them. They get to go fishing. Mason, my 9-year-old, is like fishing obsessed right now. I mean, he's always liked fishing, but he like found, you know, his interest again in fishing. So he's been like researching this lake that they're going to and what kind of fish it has, and they're gonna try different bait, like the whole thing. So yeah, very interesting. But yeah, I get a break. So it's right now, it's Friday morning. They just left not too long ago and they come back Sunday. So I get a glorious 3 days, 2 nights alone, which by the way, first of all, I recognize that not every mom has this luxury because not every guy is outdoorsy or likes to do, you know, camping and all the stuff my husband loves. I feel very lucky that not only is my husband big into all of that stuff, and by the way, such a good hobby. Like if I had to think of some of the best hobbies I would want my husband to have, this is definitely like top three. So like so amazing, but then also so amazing that my boys love it too, because easily my kids could be like, I don't want to do that, or that's not fun, or whatever. And I don't know if it's their age. I mean, Rush literally just turned 8 2 days ago. So I don't, but they've always liked it, always. Like even when we went when they were little, like last time I went camping, Rush was a baby. Mason was a toddler and Jack was probably like 7, if I had to guess. We were in Tahoe and it was car camping with tents, the whole 9 yards, and a bear came to our campsite. And I was also like TMI, but I was like on my period and I was just miserable. And I was like, I'm never doing this again. And that was it. I never did it again. I was like, you guys do it, but I'm never doing it again. So anyways, my point is that they have always loved it. Hopefully they continue to love it. It's such a great father-son bonding experience, brotherly bonding experience. Ava goes, the dog, she loves it. And I get my alone time. But I was thinking, like, it's so funny because you almost have to plan your alone time, because if you don't, your mind goes wild. Like you're like, okay, what should I do?
And you're like, I should clean the house. I should deep clean the house. Okay, I should organize the pantry. I should deep clean the fridge. I should get work stuff done. And for me, that's like multi-layered. Like right now I'm podcasting, which I lump into my work stuff. And I have actual lemon work, like day-to-day stuff. And then I also, this time of year, I'm prepping everything for holiday season, which is a huge task. But once I get it done, it's like the biggest relief. But that takes a lot of time. That could literally suck up all 3 days if I let it. It's like, okay, should I do self-care? Should I go get a mani-pedi? Should I go get a facial? Should I get, you know, a massage? You know, like, should I spend time with my friends? Oh my gosh, I'm alone. I can go have girl time. I can go to lunch. I can go shopping. I could have people, I could have my friends over to my house because no one else is here. I could literally have a girls' night at the house, which is, again, never happens because I've got my husband and the kids. And then if the girls come over, then the kids are like, what's happening? I want to be involved. It's like, okay, no, but I also want my alone time because who gets alone time ever when you're married with kids? So then it's like, I should have alone time. I should read a book. I should write a book. I should, you know, take a nap. Like, it's like your mind literally goes crazy and you realize, first of all, how hard it is to do some of this stuff on a normal day-to-day basis because you do have a family. And then also you're like, what do I want? Like you literally go through a moment of like, what's the most important thing I could do right now that I will appreciate when they come back home, you know? So I like to do kind of a little bit of everything. It makes me feel good. Like if I, you know, for example, if I was just to like lay around and do nothing for 3 days, yeah, on some level that would feel amazing. But then the work would pile up. The house is, you know, not as clean as it could be or possibly a mess. I could have had valuable time with my friends. I could have done, some, you know, the list goes on, right? So I like to just do a little bit of everything. Like I kind of cleaned the downstairs as soon as they left. I got the kitchen cleaned. I got the dishwasher going. I cleaned the living room. I got, you know, our bedroom, our bathroom. Everything is like put together down here. And then upstairs, I haven't touched the kids' rooms yet, but I will, you know. I'm going to get laundry going at some point, obviously. Like, I have a little bit of a rhythm because I've done this before. And I'm already like a pretty scheduled person. But I do have to think about it. Like, I'm going to grocery shop later today for just myself, which is so weird. But I get to like, okay, what do I want? What do I want to eat? I'm going to try to be healthy. I actually really need to eat healthy because I've been eating so crappy the last few days. Rush's birthday cake, like you name it, I've had it. So I'm really looking to like clean up my diet the next few days. And it's so much easier when I'm alone, you know, and I can eat when I want. Like, it's just, it's kind of amazing. So any moms out there, that have the ability to have an alone time at home, not that you have to like leave the house, do it. I mean, I think leaving the house is great too. I've never done that. But I know friends that have and they loved it. But I think there's just something with being home where you can take care of projects. Like you could deep clean and organize your closet. You know, you can go through all your products and get rid of stuff that's expired or stuff that you don't even like. Like, why are you holding on to a face scrub that you hate, you know? So it's just that kind of stuff that you can't do if you go away for the weekend, you know? So that's kind of the vibe I'm in right now. And I definitely am planning a little bit of time with friends. I'm planning a lot of alone time, which I'm super excited about. Some of it is to get work done. Some of it is just to relax. I don't know. I haven't planned it yet, but it's such a treat. And I do feel like if every mom can do this from time to time, like when your kids come back, you're like a new person. You've got the energy. You've just kind of rejuvenated yourself. I also feel like you can just be like silly. Like you could like play music and dance around. You could walk around the house naked if you want. Like you could do whatever you want. And it's just not that like my husband would even care. Like he would not, you know, if I fell asleep on the couch at 2 p.m. on a random day, he would never say anything. He's not, you know what I mean? But I do think like with society, like we've been taught that like, oh, if you can take a nap at 2 p.m., then like you could be doing more, like go do more. And I get it. Like I'm a get it done type of girl, obviously, but I do think that a 30-minute nap could literally change your day and make you so much more productive. So yeah, I'm all about it. I'm going to do all the things. I can't wait. Okay. But this episode is about, we're going to talk about vitamin D. We're going to talk about magnesium. You're going to see that calcium's tied into this. This topic is interesting to me because, you know, well, first of all, you always hear about vitamin D deficiency, especially in women, but in general. And then I started to notice a lot of people talking about magnesium deficiency and wanting to get magnesium in their system. And this all started at Lemon, I think it was 2018-ish, very early Lemon. And we used to have a whole like shelving section at the store of organic spa products. And, you know, it would be, and we also had CBD products like CBD oils or CBD body scrubs, that kind of stuff. And it did really well. But I mean, for many reasons, we don't do it anymore. Part of it is that you really have to educate people on the products. Many people can't just walk in and understand why a product is good just because it's organic, all natural, non-toxic, or has CBD in it. You have to talk about it. Why is it important? Why do we pay more for better products? You know, what does the product really do? How to use the product, all that kind of stuff. And as Lemon grew and I went to multiple stores and we had a bunch of employees, it's just not gonna happen. It's just not. It doesn't matter how much I train someone, if they don't really know the importance or have the passion behind the product, it's not gonna happen. And you know, at the end of the day, a lot of our employees are just like high school girls and like, you know, they're great, but it's not the same. They're not going to be able to talk on the product the way that I was able to talk on the product and my knowledge base, you know? So long story short, we don't do the organic spa products anymore, or we do it in like a seasonal fashion. Like we might bring in some stuff for Mother's Day, or we might have cute gift packages for Christmas or whatever, but it's not a constant thing. And one thing that I did back then was I brought in a magnesium spray. And I remember thinking like, this is kind of random, but I'm kind of intrigued. And the company I got it from talked about how people love it. And you spray it on your skin. You can spray it on your feet. It's like a very easy way to get magnesium. And actually one of the easiest ways to absorb magnesium is through your skin. So that interested me too, because I was like, oh, okay, so let's give it a shot. Let's see what people think. And it flew off the shelves, you guys. Like, I wouldn't even talk about the product other than like maybe post about it a little bit or, yeah, like have like a picture of it on Instagram or whatever. And it was like people would walk in, buy it, people would buy it online, like it was just gone. And I would buy it again, it would be gone again. And I was like, what is the deal with this? Like, I didn't understand it. I've never been, or not that I'm known of, being magnesium deficient. So I literally was like, what's the deal, you know? And I started to learn that like people do struggle with magnesium deficiency, the importance of magnesium in general, and then also how it's linked to vitamin D and your calcium, which a lot of women struggle with the vitamin D and the calcium. You know, I just remember growing up, my mom, my aunts, everyone talking about like bone health and, you know, drink your milk and all that, you know? So it was just like a lot of like, this is interesting. And I wanted to learn more. And I do think that it seems like vitamin D deficiency is the biggest deficiency that women are seeing across the board of all ages. So I do think it's a powerful thing to talk about. So let's talk about it. So vitamin D comes from some foods. But primarily, the best way to get vitamin D is through the sun. And this is where it becomes a hot topic, where everyone's like, oh, the sun, you know, we don't want to get skin cancer. We don't want to get skin damage. We don't want to get wrinkles. And it's just crazy to me that one of the biggest vitamins that we need in our system primarily comes from the sun. We literally need the sun in order to be complete and healthy. So, you know, these people that walk around with like umbrellas because they're scared of the sun, or they cover themselves or lather themselves in sunscreen. Sunscreen literally blocks the absorption of vitamin D. So let that sink in for a second. No pun intended. You need vitamin D to have strong bones. Without vitamin D, you can't absorb calcium. So when a lot of people talk about weak bones, calcium, all these issues, and it's kind of like very like old school. Like this is like what I grew up with. It wasn't necessarily a more calcium. It was a vitamin D deficiency. Because again, if you don't have vitamin D in your system or enough vitamin D, you can't absorb calcium. That should be in and of itself a huge aha moment for people. And vitamin D also regulates many of your cell functions. It's anti-inflammatory, antioxidant. It's neuroprotective properties that support immune health, muscle function, and brain activity. So it literally does all the things. Like we're talking muscles, we're talking bones, we're talking brain, we're talking your immune system. Like it is such a crucial part of being a healthy, functioning human of any age, but especially as you get older, as your muscles weaken, as your bones become, you know, brittle, like, you know, it's like all these things, like your immune system drops as you get older. So it becomes even more crucial. But even if you're 20, you need these things, or our poor children, of course. What foods have vitamin D? Fortified milk, or they put it in like fortified cereal, which I'm not a big cereal person because cereal is just processed sugary junk, really. And then also in fatty fishes like salmon. But again, the best way to get vitamin D is from the sun. So you can eat all the salmon you want. You could be getting a fraction of the vitamin D that you would get being in the sun for 15 minutes without, you know, chemicals and products and sunscreen on your body and without covering yourself, obviously. I feel like I should say that because I feel like some people go in the sun, but they're like fully covered. And then they're like, I'm in the sun. And it's like, you're not, the sun needs to hit your skin. And that, again, is where people miss it, right? Now let's talk about magnesium. Magnesium is important for normal bone function. Your whole bone structure needs magnesium. So again, let that sink in for a second. Your whole body is bone, from your skull all the way down to your feet, right? So it's full body necessity is magnesium. And then you've also got nerves, muscle movements, and stool. So people will take magnesium when they're constipated or they have bathroom issues. Because if you have low levels of magnesium, it makes it harder for you to go to the bathroom. So that's another thing. Throw that in, right? So what foods has magnesium? You're looking at whole grains. You're looking at veggies. You're looking at seeds, nuts, especially almonds. I actually do almond butter every morning. I go to Whole Foods and they have that machine. It's kind of like in the back corner typically where it has the almonds sitting in it and you push the button and it grinds it right in front of you and puts it in the container and then you take it home. So it's literally almonds. That's the only ingredient. And maybe salt, like, you know, but there's no like added oils or whatever. It is just almonds. And I love it. I put it on like a little rice cracker with a little bit of honey, or I'll chop up a banana and put it in a bowl and then put almond butter on top and just like eat that. I actually like it better than peanut butter. Like even just like the taste. I just think the more I eat clean, the more I don't like the fake taste in things. So if I have like a peanut butter, it tastes very fake because it has like chemicals in it or weird oils or whatever. So yeah, anyway, so that's a good trick. So if you, that could be a really easy, like I would rather do almond butter in the morning than eat a handful of almonds, where my husband loves to have a handful of almonds, you know? So it's like however you want to do it. Other sources that have magnesium, just not as much, is dairy, meat, chocolate, and coffee. And also water. Water that has high mineral content, which is not our water. Like, it's like not anything that we're drinking, but if you could get your hands on it, that could be another way to get magnesium. So basically eat healthy, which is what the American population is just not doing. So again, let that sink in, right? Like I just think so many of this stuff is basic, but not basic, right? It's like, you know, seeds, nuts, veggies, we need to be eating all that kind of stuff. But how much of that is really in your diet? Myself included. Like I feel like I'm very knowledgeable, definitely very knowledgeable on food and health compared to the average American. And I feel like I eat pretty good for the most part. I'm not perfect, but I feel like I definitely have a great understanding. But even for me, I'm like, how much seeds am I eating? You know, like I could definitely ramp that up, or like, okay, I eat veggies, but there are some days where I just like don't feel like having a veggie, you know, which I think is okay on some level. Like you have to be able to listen to your body and not force it. Like I don't crave veggies usually like 3 days before my period. That's when I want like heavier foods, where I want something of like substance, you know? Not saying that you can't mix it in, but I'm just saying, you know? So, but even for me, it's like, I have to think about these things. I have to be mindful of what I'm eating and what I'm doing. So here's the kicker. Your body needs magnesium in order to process vitamin D. So if you are magnesium deficient, you can't absorb and process vitamin D. And if you're low on vitamin D, you can't absorb calcium. So boom, there you go. So there are people out there that are literally taking calcium supplements, but the issue is not that they don't have calcium. The issue is that they are low on magnesium and vitamin D. So this is what I hate about our healthcare system, is that if I go to a normal doctor and they run blood work and they go, you have low calcium, low vitamin D, we're going to put you on a strong prescription vitamin D, for example. My body might not even be able to process and absorb it because I'm low on magnesium, but they don't connect the dots. They won't ask me, what's your diet? What are you eating? What are you not eating? What is your like typical day look like? Like all these things matter. They will never ask that. They just won't. I mean, my little guy, Rush, who just turned 8, he was having digestive issues, like just was having problems getting backed up. And I couldn't figure out why, because we all eat the same food. It's all organic, non-GMO. We have a pretty healthy diet. This kid loves to pound, you know, strawberries and like things that have fiber in it and are good for you. And I just couldn't figure it out. And we ended up going from the pediatrician to an IG doctor and all these things, I don't even know. But none of the doctors, None of them asked me his diet. Not only did they not ask me his diet, they didn't ask me how much water he drinks or what he drinks at all. They didn't ask me when he eats, how much he eats. They didn't ask me anything other than what is he complaining about? You know, I think maybe they asked me about what his stool looks like, or, you know, we did some stool testing and things like that, but nothing. And it just blows my mind. I'm like, I basically had to self-diagnose my child after going to all these doctor's appointments for no reason. No reason. And I really did do the doctor's appointments because I wanted to eliminate big things, like make sure it's not cancer or, you know, like a something big, like a blockage, or, you know, I don't know. Like, I just wanted to make sure I eliminated all the big, scary possibilities. And it came down to none of that stuff. And none of them asked me these basic questions. And it's like, how do you not start there? How is that not? I mean, I think the starting point is like, let's do blood work and urine and all that stuff and make sure it's not something big and scary. But once you get back the results and everything's normal, shouldn't the next thing be the basics? What are you eating? What are you drinking? How are you sleeping? All the things. Like, I don't get it. But this is why these sorts of conversations and podcasts are so important to me, because this is what we need to be knowledgeable on. Did you know that all of these are linked together? I don't know. I mean, I don't remember when I linked these together, but when I did, I was like, holy shit. Like, this is huge. Like, everyone should be talking about this, but nobody talks about this, right? Magnesium also helps with liver and kidney to be able to metabolize the vitamin D. So that's important too. So you're processing it and you're able to actually utilize it, right? Again, how would you know that, right? Like, we're not doctors, and even doctors don't get educated on this stuff, which is why our healthcare system is such garbage. So if doctors don't even know this, and how are we supposed to know this, right? It's crazy. So let's talk about what it means to be low on vitamin D or deficient. You're looking at bone pain, bone fractures. You're looking at muscle pain, muscle weakness. And you're also looking at things like fatigue, joint pain, sour mood, like just being in not a good mood, being sick more, hair loss. All of this struck me, but the hair loss stuck with me because I think a lot of women and men are struggling with more hair loss today than I ever remember. And I could be wrong. Maybe I was just young and I didn't notice it, but I do feel like it's a thing now. Like, you know, women are getting hair extensions put in, not for the length necessarily, but for volume, because they're losing hair. So what if it's because you're low on vitamin D and nobody is telling you, right? Low magnesium or being magnesium deficient, you're looking at possibly low appetite or being nauseous, vomiting. You're looking at muscle spasms or abnormal like heart rhythms, which is like so scary, right? You're looking at insomnia, anxiety, depression, headaches. This is just like name a few. There's like more, but like, again, you could be having chronic headaches and you could be walking around telling everyone that you got migraines, you're on migraine medication, and it could just be that you're low on magnesium. Like, this is the kind of stuff that pisses me off, because how many people are on depression medication, headache medication, sleeping pills, like all these things, and they could just be low on magnesium. And then because they're low on magnesium, they're automatically low on D. And then they're automatically low on their calcium. Holy shit, you guys. Like, this is insane. And this is the kind of knowledge that I want. Like, I want to understand this kind of stuff so that I can make smart decisions, that I can go do blood work and I could read the blood work and make, you know, these decisions myself. I think also a good rule of thumb with blood work is that they'll give you a range of normal. If you are on the low end of this normal for certain vitamins like this and minerals, you should probably be upping it because their consideration of what they take as normal is not correct. You know, it's kind of like if you go back and listen to the episode on vitamin C, I think they tell us to do 100 milligrams of vitamin C a day, where we really need like 1,000. So, you know, if you were to like look at your blood work and it would be like, you're normal on your vitamin C and it's in that range, but in reality, you should be at 1,000, then it's wrong. So this is why this kind of stuff is so important, that like you don't just do blood work and have the doctor say it looks fine. But if you were to actually analyze it, you could go, wait a second. You're saying it's fine, but I am at the bottom of the range and I don't even think your range is right, right? So then you can make your own decisions. And yeah, I just find this stuff so fascinating and so important for us to take our health into our own hands. Unfortunately, our healthcare system is not a healthcare system. It's a sick care system. They will deal with you when you're sick, right? And then a lot of times, them helping you is covering up the issue, covering up the symptoms. It's not actually curing you. So if you have migraines, they're going to give you migraine medication. That's not actually solving why you're getting the headaches. If you can't sleep, they're not actually fixing why you can't sleep. They're giving you medication to help you fall asleep or possibly stay asleep, right? That doesn't work for me. That doesn't work for any of us. I mean, I'm sorry. The whole thing makes me so mad. I literally feel like I have to dedicate multiple hours a day just to keep me and my family healthy. Between grocery shopping properly so we're not bringing crap into the house, sometimes you have to make things from scratch just to have it be clean and healthy, which is wild. Like, I don't have time to make bread from scratch. I just don't. But I'm seriously considering making all our bread from scratch because I'm like, it's getting to the point where even if it's organic, non-GMO bread, they're adding all this stuff to it that we don't need. I don't need to be consuming bread that has all of these ingredients. Bread probably only needs 5 ingredients, you know? Or it's like, you know, it's like the thing where like people go to Europe and they eat whatever they want and they feel good. Like they could have a huge bowl of pasta and have bread and drink wine and like do all these things and they feel fine. But they come to America and they eat like that and they literally feel like they're dying, or their digestive system takes a hit, or their skin takes a hit, or they, you know, they're moody or whatever, right? And it's like, that's not normal. They have clean food over there and we have garbage food over here. The reason that they can drink wine and not have a headache the next day or not gain weight is because their wine is just clean wine. All of our wine that's produced in the US is sprayed with all this crap and, you know, pesticides and, you know, like Roundup. Like, why? Like, even organic wine here is not as good as the foreign stuff, which is so annoying. Why? Why are we being poisoned? But like, really, for me to keep me and my family healthy, it is like a constant battle between grocery shopping and cooking and meal prepping and learning about all these things like vitamins and minerals and what our body really needs and making sure that we're getting it. And then having our own organic garden at the house where we can plant and grow our own food, which that in and of itself is like a different art, which my husband actually does. Like, I don't have a green thumb. He does. And thank God. Again, another great hobby he has. Like, yay, you know, but it's like, I know that having a tomato from our garden is more nutritious than a tomato I buy at the store, even if it's organic, which is wild. I mean, that's a whole nother topic, but if you research it, I don't know what they're doing. Like, the soil doesn't have the same minerals and nutrients as it used to 100 years ago. So then, like, what are they doing to the soil, right? It's like all these things that adds up and is literally either killing us or is making our quality of life less than, right? Like, people are not just struggling with weight, which obviously is highly correlated to our health. I don't care what the media and social media wants to be telling us. If you are overweight or obese or morbidly obese, that's a health condition. That's a health issue. That's not healthy. And I know that, like, they want to make, like, fitness all inclusive and they want to put people that are overweight on magazine covers, and I get it, but let's stop pretending like that's okay and healthy. It's not. And I have taught my children a good amount so far, not everything, but enough that they understand that we don't want to be fat. We're not fat shaming. We're not like, you know, we're not like walking around like, oh, you got a few extra pounds or you're overweight, we hate you. But my kids understand why mommy and daddy work out, why we eat organic non-GMO foods, why it's important that they have their veggies and their meats before they eat their candy, for example, right? My kids understand that organic candy is better than not organic candy. My kids understand why they're not allowed to touch Prime at all. You know, that drink? I don't even like Gatorade. Like, I'm like, Prime is horrible. Gatorade's no better, really. It's like slightly better. It doesn't have forever chemicals, I guess. But I have taught my children that, like, we drink water. Our whole house is filtered, and my kids know that. And I have taught them that you can drink from any faucet in this home because everything is filtered. Now when we're at like a basketball gym and they have to refill their water, they look at me and they go, is this filtered? You know? And sometimes I have to lie and I have to be like, yeah, it's okay. Go ahead. Right? Because it's probably not filtered, but I also need them to drink water and not pass out. Right? So it's like, it is like a fine line, but I want my kids to be educated because a lot of this stuff is new. Like, for example, Prime. I didn't have to worry about Prime when I was 13, but my 13-year-old today does. My kids do. We do. Like, it blows my mind. I've become so passionate about this because it is killing our quality of life and our ability to be productive. And that's what this podcast is about, right? Like, the whole Lyme podcast has been created so that we, those of us that want to level up, that want to be the best version of ourselves, have a place to gather information, absorb information. And in order to do that, our health comes first. Health is wealth, period. And you can't say, well, you know, I'm putting my health to the side because I'm putting my family first and I'm putting my work first and I, you know, I've started this business and all these things. But I promise you that the health side will catch up to you. You know, there's a reason why children that come from parents that put their fitness first are healthier. That's a study. You could look that up, right? That's because we are teaching through our lifestyle. We are teaching through what we do, not what we say, right? It's like the parent that says to their children, be nice, but then they're mean. It's like, well, you're telling them to be nice, but you're mean. Like, you're mean to random people. You're mean to them. You have a mean attitude. They're learning from your actions. It's the same thing with health. I don't necessarily have to hold up a bell pepper and say to my kids, bell pepper is important because it's high in vitamin C and all these other things. We just eat it every day. We eat it every day. They are obsessed with it because I have given it to them since day one. And it's just part of our lifestyle. And now on top of that, if one day while we're eating bell pepper, I mention to them, hey, you know, bell pepper is very high in vitamin C. And vitamin C keeps you from getting sick, as well as it helps you with a lot of other things, right? That will stick with them because they're like, okay, we eat it all the time. mommy has it in the house all the time. It's in my lunchbox. And now I know why. It's good for me. It helps my body. That's a lifestyle, right? So I think I'm just so passionate. I actually heard, I think it was Rachel Hollis' podcast a while ago where someone had called in with business advice and they really wanted to grow this business and just kind of, you know, expand on their success. And for some reason, I can't remember the details, but it kind of did boil down to one thing that was holding them back was their health, their weight. They were overweight and it was holding them back. It was holding them back physically. It was holding them back mentally. It was making life in general harder, which in return also makes growing a business harder. You know, ultimately, if you are a business owner, you have your life and the business is a part of your life. So you can't dissect the business out and say, well, my business is going to succeed even if I'm drowning. It doesn't work that way. You're not a CEO of a big, huge organization. And honestly, even if you do look on that level, I can't think of a single CEO that I know of that's overweight or that is has unhealthy habits. Like maybe they're, you know, drinking excessively or doing drugs or gambling or whatever you can think of that is an unhealthy lifestyle or habit, right? Now, I'm sure somewhere we could find someone where we could say, yeah, they're a CEO and, you know, they have a drinking problem or they're really unhealthy in whatever ways. But if you look across the board, that doesn't happen because to get to that level and to succeed at that level, you have to be a well-disciplined, healthy person as a lifestyle. And that's where people are disconnected. They want to look at running a business as one thing, having a good family life as another thing, as their health as another thing, et cetera, et cetera. No, it all bleeds together. It's kind of like, you know, it's like when someone has an unhealthy relationship and it's very toxic, or maybe their marriage is falling apart for whatever reason and it's just in a very unhealthy place. That starts to seep into all of your life. It seeps into raising your kids. It seeps into your ability to work and be successful in your work. It seeps into your ability to eat healthy and work out and take care of yourself and sleep well. It obviously seeps into your stress and your stress hormones, which is also tied to your health. It seeps into everything. It seeps into your friendships, all of it. So you have to think about health in that way too, where you have to go, okay, if I'm not eating properly, taking care of myself, all of these things, it's going to seep into being a good mother, being a good wife, or father, or husband, or whatever, right? It's going to seep into my mood and my ability to function. It's going to seep into everything, your sex life, your, I mean, literally you could list off everything in your life and it will affect it. So, you know, I think a lot of times we look at this kind of stuff like a vitamin D deficiency I need to think about it, but I'm not. But you could literally be killing yourself. Like it's like, I almost laugh, but it's like, this is serious. And I don't understand. Like people are more willing to take time and money to get Botox than to work on these sorts of things for their health. I mean, what do you think is going to keep you young, both inside and out longer? The Botox or this? Right? It's crazy. I actually, like, speaking of this kind of stuff, I did like a face scan thing. And at the end, it gave you a full report of like, you know, wrinkles and sun damage and like all these things. But at the end, it gave you your skin age versus your real age. So I'm 37. I'm going to be 38 soon. And my skin age is 31. Well, Guys, never done Botox, never done filler. I've never done lasers on my face. I don't use sunscreen. Like, I use sunscreen once in a blue moon on my body, like a, you know, an organic one, if I'm going to be in the sun for hours. But, you know, stop believing the bullshit we're being fed. Here's the bottom line. Anything from Botox, lasers, sunscreen, all products, it's a business. Everyone's trying to make money. You know how they can't make money? Is you in the sun. They're not going to make any money off that. No one can charge you for getting sun. So you have to follow the money. You have to follow the business sometimes and go, listen, at the end of the day, they're looking to make a profit. Those sunscreen companies are banking on the fact that you're going to be scared of the sun, period. But let's talk about the sun for a second, because I know with the vitamin D stuff, that's going to be a hot topic. What I have come to the conclusion of, and again, I'm not a doctor. I probably should have stated that at the beginning. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a nutritionist. I'm just a girl that became obsessed with being healthy and not letting our food system, healthcare system, our government fuck up my health and hurt my babies. It actually really started with my first pregnancy. I became hyper obsessed with the health of my baby. And then in return, the health of me and et cetera, right? It was like a trickle effect. Here's the conclusion I have come to. The sun on your skin is not the problem. The problem is what you're eating is poison, and that's inside your body. And then what you're putting on your body is poison, sunscreen, lotions, makeup, whatever. And then you go and you bake in the sun. And then the sun is baking these chemicals into your skin, which is your largest organ, which seeps into your bloodstream and is part of your body. That's the problem, period. No, we never want a product that is blocking the UV. That's where you get the vitamin D from. Go ahead and look it up. This is not bullshit. You will not get vitamin D if you put sunscreen on your body. The sunscreen will block the UV and block you from getting all of the benefits from the sun, most importantly, vitamin D. And for some reason, this basic fact is like ignored now, right? People walk around like, oh, you better put your sunscreen on. You don't want to get sun cancer. You know, you don't want to get skin cancer. You don't want to get, you know, sun damage. You don't want to get wrinkles. And it's like, I get it. If you bake in the sun all day long, every single day, yeah, you're going to look like a wrinkly, crusty, tan, old lady, old man. 1,000%. But let's be realistic. How much sun do you think you're actually getting? Let's talk about right now. It's June. It's summer. It's hot. This whole week it's in the 90s here. And I think it's probably like that everywhere. And how much sun are you getting? Yes, you might go to the pool or the lake or the ocean and get some sun. You might, you know, walk outside for 2 seconds and get some sun. But it's so hot that you're not really outside. You're inside in the AC. Okay? When my kids wake up in the summertime and we don't have camps or anything, I always say to them, guys, go outside and play in the morning or in the evenings. It's going to be too hot in the middle of the day. So earlier in the mornings, usually like before 9 o'clock, and then in the evenings around 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, they go outside to play. You're not getting any sun. You're not getting that much sun at 8, 9 in the morning. And you're definitely not getting any at 6, 7 p.m., right? So when you really break it down, you're like, I'm not even getting that much sun. Why are we freaking out about something that I'm not even doing that much? In the winter, good luck getting sun, right? In the winter, it's like if you can get sun through the window in your car, you're like, yes, hallelujah, right? But in the winter, you're wearing layers. So you might get a little bit on your face, maybe your hands, like you're cold. So you might get some good sun in the fall. You might get some in the spring. Like I love a good spring or fall day where you can just like meet a friend for lunch and sit outside in the sun and you can just like eat your food and the sun just feels so good, but you're not like sweating and like dying from the heat, right? But like, how many times has that happened for you? Not that much. You know, you go on vacation for a few days, you might get a little extra sun. You know, if you're getting too much sun, I'm a huge advocate of like, just put a hat on. You know what I did? We were just on the lake for Father's Day. I put a little bit of sunscreen on my shoulders. Again, this is like an organic whatever product, but not that much. I eventually, after a few hours, I put a hat on and then I had like a button-up shirt that was like kind of oversized and big. And I just put that on when I was done with the sun. You know, I kept it open in the front and I didn't have any like, you know, pants on or shorts on or whatever. And I just kind of covered up my shoulders where I felt like I was getting a little too much sun, didn't want to burn. Like, this is not rocket science, you know? And I actually, I need a sip of water. Hold on a second. I feel it's so funny because like I do these episodes and I'm like, this is going to be like 30 minutes and I'm already like 50 minutes in. But I have to tell you this one last thing. When me and my husband first started dating, we did a big trip or basically around the world. We did Spain, we did Greece, we did Turkey, we did Paris, we did all these places. And we were gone for like 3 weeks. It was amazing. Highly recommend if you haven't married yet and had kids, go do one big trip around the world and then come back and settle down. It was amazing. And our first stop was Spain. We were in Barcelona. We did like, you know, like the churches and like had great dinners and it was beautiful. And then we went over to Ibiza, the island off of Spain. And we were on the beach and I was like, wow, like these people are, first of all, these people are gorgeous. Okay. And we also went over to Greece. We were in Mykonos, the island. So between Ibiza and Mykonos, the two islands, we did a lot of beach water time, right? I noticed two things. One, the women and men were beautiful. Just like the most amazing bodies. I'm sorry, I'm gonna use the word skinny. Like they were all like skinny in shape. Not like buff, but like beautiful. Does that make sense? Like I'm not a big fan of like men that are just like jacked up or women that are muscular. Like that's not my thing. They were just, they honestly, a lot of them look like Victoria's Secret models from back in the day. Like I literally was like, what's happening? Where are we? And a lot of these women and men were parents, had their babies, their toddlers with them. Women would be like in the skimpiest little, I mean, there was a couple beaches that were like topless. So there was a little bit of that, but a lot of times they were just like in this really skimpy little bikinis. And I feel like back then, that was not as in style as it is now. I feel like now it's a little bit more in style, but back then was the generation of like, we had bikinis, but it was like full booty covered. Like, you know what I'm talking about? Like, it was just like a lot of material. So when I saw these, I was like, wow, like we're young, in shape. This was obviously before I had kids. And, you know, I'm in what I would consider a skimpy bikini. But then I was like looking at them, I'm like, I'm so covered up. Like I literally bought a bikini there, you guys, because I felt ridiculous in what I was wearing. No joke. But my first, you know, conclusion or like observation was like, holy shit, these people look beautiful. Like supermodels walking the ground. Where you go to the beaches here and it's like not the case. I'm about to get canceled for this episode. But the other thing I noticed were the kids. The kids were just running free. A lot of them were just like in a diaper or like in a little swim trunk. There was no sunscreen. There was no like, you know how they put kids in like those swim shirts so that they're covered from their neck up to their arms and everything? None of that. There was no like swim shoes. You know how you put the kids in the little booty so that you're like, oh, their feet are gonna burn. None of that. There was no hats. There was no putting sunglasses on the kids. None of that. None of that. These kids were either naked or in a diaper or in a little tiny swim trunk. That was it. And I just remember, like, again, this was, I mean, we had, you know, so my oldest, Jack, is my stepson, technically. So we had Jack, but we hadn't had kids yet, and I wasn't like fully in this like mom world yet. But even from that, even from like Jack and just from what I had seen in life in America, I would just remember being like, oh my God, in America, the kids are all like covered up and, you know, everyone's scared of the sun. They're under the umbrellas, like hibernating. And over here, these kids are just running free, like hours in the sun. And that was a really big aha moment for me. This is part of the reason why travel is so important. You can see the culture and the food and all of that, but you also get to just see how these people live. And you can compare it to our lives and go, we're the crazy ones. Like, you know, like I was looking at these people and I'm like, wow, you know, and like the beauty of like an Ibiza and Mykonos type of vacation is that these people travel from all over Europe, right? So these people are coming from like France and Italy and like all these places. So you really got to see a diverse group of people and diverse ages, right? You got the young ones, you got the young parents, you got the older parents, you got all these people, and you can just see how much more relaxed they are, how free they are, how happy they are, how healthy they are. And you compare it to us and you're like, what are we doing? What are we doing? Like, this is how it's supposed to be. So if I do anything through this podcast and through my lifetime, it is to talk about the importance of the sun. Don't let these doctors and dermatologists and Botox people like teach you the wrong thing. Okay. Sunscreen is not the answer. I think having some, you know, non-toxic sunscreen for once in a blue moon, if you're in the sun for, you know, extra long, and like, let's say the kids are wakeboarding and they want to be out there even longer, maybe you put a little bit on their arms, like fine. But day in and day out, no. The chemical crap, no. Like, I used to use a face lotion that had SPF in it. This was years and years and years ago. This was before I understood using better products. And I just did it because I was told to, and because the face moisturizer came with it in it. Like, I didn't, it wasn't like a very thoughtful thing. Like, I wasn't like, I need sunscreen. It was just like, okay, this face lotion has SPF 15. That's good. But now looking back, I'm like, oh my gosh, I was just like clogging my pores and I was just dousing myself in chemicals. And I'm so mad at myself, you know? My favorite right now, in case anyone's wondering, I use the Beauty Counter very basic face moisturizer. I forget what it's called, but it's like the very basic tube. I think they have other ones that are like, you know, more for like anti-aging and stuff, but I just use like the basic. There's no sunscreen in it. There's no chemicals, no yucky stuff. It's a clean product. It's very lightweight. So I feel like I can put it on my skin and my skin can still breathe. I can put it on my skin and I'm not going to break out. I can put it on my skin and not feel like I'm clogging my pores or it's going to feel cakey. Like, I'm sensitive to like how things feel. So I'm big on that, really big on that. Yeah. So please don't put sunscreen on every day and let your body get the natural vitamin D that it needs. Especially now that it's summer, I'm almost like an advocate of like, let's stock up, you know, because winter will come and it will be very difficult to get vitamin D during those months. It doesn't matter where you live, unless you're like in Hawaii. But like, even when we were in California and there was maybe a little bit more sun in the winter versus Nashville, like, you don't. It's cold. It could be rainy. Over here, it snows once in a while. Like, you're not getting the sun. And even if you are, you're covered in layers. So take advantage of the summers. Take advantage of the nice fall days. Take advantage of the nice spring days that you can get. And get in the sun. Like, literally 10, 15 minutes is good. Like, go do it. And yeah, this narrative needs to die. And the companies that profit off of us rubbing cancer-causing crap all over ourselves need to die. Like, done. I'm done. We are putting our money where our mouth is, and take these companies down. I'm serious. Like, I'm so done. I will not give a penny of my money to this crap anymore. Ever. Ever. I mean, okay, maybe if I'm like stuck at a baseball game, I might buy a little tube if we really feel like we're burning, you know? But it's like, that's not, just no, be prepared. It's not happening. Okay, so now I've really rambled on, but I really am so passionate about this stuff and I think it's so important. And I don't want to see friends, family, people I know, anyone suffer anymore. You know, like we need to start educating ourselves and taking our health into our own hands. Everything is a business. The doctor's office is a business. Every food company obviously is a business. The hospitals are a business. Everything is a business. And you are no longer going to be their cash cow. Period.